And all that we show, evil though it might be all I take. Show me love, show me love, show me love.
You know, it's only been a year since we did this.
Only
a year.
Feels like a long time.
Yeah, and it feels like we've been gone forever.
It seems like three to me.
3 years?
Since we've done the podcast.
You lived 3 years in the last 1 year?
Seemed like it, but it's not like I'm doing more. I'm doing less. But I feel like I've lived 3 years in one, I guess.
It does feel that way.
Yeah.
We moved into this building a little over a year ago. That feels like it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Kind of. Don't you think?
Yeah. Seems like a year is 3 years and everything takes a month. You know what I mean?
Every day takes a month.
Well, it's like, you know, just normal, like, changes, you know, different easy, simple life changes, you know, like, oh, it'll be a month before that. Like, it just takes time. Everything just takes a month.
And only a month.
It doesn't even really make sense, but it seems like that. Just like everything takes a month.
It's okay.
You know,
it doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah. So.
So we've been out of podcasting for a year, but the outcry of the people is too great.
It's too great.
You know? So we're back.
Just have to respond.
We just have to respond to the people.
That's right.
And the reason that we haven't been podcasting is because we're old and tired.
Yeah. There were a lot of things to do, right?
What'd you have going on?
Oh, you know, I mean, just moving, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Acclimating, yeah. And all that stuff.
It's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah. Just doesn't seem like hard or anything.
Your life just gets full.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of wanting it to slow down a little bit and shift gears, you know?
Do you feel like you're in a different place than a little over a year ago when we did this more regularly? Or you do?
Yeah.
I do too. I don't know if you're in a different place. I feel like I am.
What? Like, in what way do you feel like?
No, you go first. I ask you first.
Okay. Probably the most noticeable thing is that I'm not as reactive to things that happen. I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it kind of feels like on the surface, like you don't care. But I don't think it's that way. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just it doesn't matter much one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the biggest deal in the world. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's one.
Doesn't move the needle as much for you.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'd say that's probably one of the main,
mm-hmm.
main things. So it's just not as big of a deal as, things aren't as big of a deal as they used to be.
Mm-hmm. It's when you're young and fiery and passionate about everything.
Yeah. You know.
Scared.
Yeah.
You know, it's scared funny. Of everything.
Yeah. Like, an analogy came to my mind where, like, right when you said that, you know, it's like kids in a store, right?
Mm-hmm.
especially at like Lowe's or something. They, you know, looking at everything, putting their hands on everything, right? And older people or, you know, adults or whatever don't feel compelled at all to do that. They just go down the aisle directly to what they want and get it and leave.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar. Like, I don't feel like I need to put my hands on everything, I suppose.
You kind of seen all the things.
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean.
Seen a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, could I have more experiences? For sure. But I don't know. It's almost like, you know, is there a tipping point between, you know, having more experiences or just realizing that you've had enough experiences to kind of get a deeper understanding of things? Like, you don't need to. If you have more experiences, great, because you will. But you don't need them because the experiences that you've had, like, you've been able to kind of get some good understanding out of that. So,
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, it's kind of like when we're working through trauma or helping each other work through difficulty, you know, if you've done that a few times, then you could do it a million times. And, yeah, maybe it doesn't have as much emotional charge to it, or doesn't feel like it can unravel you.
So yeah.
You just iterate it.
That's a good way to put it.
You just, yeah. You haven't seen all the things, but you've seen enough things.
To get some sort of a understanding about, kind of, you know, like a deeper understanding. You know, you don't have to have all of the experiences in the world aren't required for a deeper understanding. There's maybe if you're paying attention, even if you're not, sometimes those experiences are gonna show you, kind of work on you. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so do you feel like your experience is simpler? More narrowly focused, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not going to tell people how old we are, by the way. We're just going to let them guess.
Yeah. More refined, maybe, I guess. You need to maybe just get more clear on what matters to you, what feels good to you. You get better at maybe recognizing that.
More refined. That makes you sound so distinguished. And
I know, which is not
the which truth. Which is not the truth.
You really know me at all.
You're anything but refined.
Right. Like an old dirt clod. But but yeah, in some ways, like more refined. You just...
A dirt clod.
I don't know. Maybe, I guess in some ways, it's just you want... I just feel myself maybe wanting less. As simple as that, maybe.
That's simpler.
You know what I mean? Because you've had all of these years of experience of wanting and getting, and I think there starts to be this recognition that really didn't amount to what you thought it might. Which is paradoxical, because then it amounts to some good understanding. You know?
So it's not about want. Life is not about wanting and getting stuff. Getting what you want.
Well, for me, I mean, for me, it's less and less about that.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want things, right? But not. It's that isn't as strong and is more focused, I suppose. Yeah.
Do you feel like you get more tuned into yourself? I'm in my 40s, but you know, like I just like more tuned into what I'm actually experiencing more accurately or something.
Like an example.
Oh, I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe this is just my experience, but I feel like maybe my experience earlier in my life was more, a lot more scattered.
Okay, yeah.
So I wouldn't be as present or with my own internal world.
Okay, yep.
And all of those things. And you just, like, I could, if I think about myself in my 20s, I feel like I was barely even in my own body most of the time.
Okay. I could totally identify with that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like your consciousness or your mind is less fragmented, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Sure. Yeah.
And the bad part about that is that now my whole experience is full of pain.
Yeah.
Like and fatigue.
Fatigue and pain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe that's because, you know, I've gotten worn down enough over the years that I have to start paying attention more to my own body and how it feels.
Yeah, right. Like it starts letting you know, right? It's not gonna give you all the bandwidth that you used to have.
Like you could eat whatever you wanted and drink whatever you wanted when you were 20.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even feel it.
Yeah. And we...
But now...
You know, we...
It's a horrible idea.
Right. But at least... like you in the past when I could do whatever I want and do all of the things, that was... I was deriving so much meaning from that stuff, you know, those things or those experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't have that experience as much anymore. Like meaning, it's kind of is changing from this. Being so dependent on experiences or things, it's coming from a different place or just kind of changing. You know, even in some ways, like more and more the experiences of what doesn't matter, you know, instead of all of these things in the past like used to be meaningful, now it's more and more kind of what I experience is, you know, more and more experiences don't matter as much.
Mm. Which kind of explains why they don't register reactivity as much with you.
Yeah.
Like your external experiences are not mattering.
Yeah.
What about your internal experiences?
Strangely enough, I mean, I'd say they resonate more, but I'm not sure that they feel more meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that confusing?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, maybe you should say more. I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, just like, I don't know. I mean, simple examples, just like emotional states, right? Like the external things, right, are always going to elicit some internal kind of response, mm-hmm. emotionally or whatever. And I think I'm more in tune with how the external impacts my internal world, mm-hmm. and I'm more informed by that, but I wouldn't say that my internal experiences become more and more important. I just become more informed by them, and maybe they resonate more, but they don't, they seem to matter less too. You know, because they'll, like, those come and go too. Emotional states come and go too. Not that mm-hmm. they're not important, right? They're very, very important information.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that's probably not what I'm trying to say, right?
You probably need it, or yeah, it can be useful to you.
Absolutely. But it's like, you know, it's like a tool. You know, when you need a wrench, it's important in that moment, and you use it, and then when you're done, you know, put it back in its place, or it's discarded.
Don't
right?
Think, you don't think about it.
Right. So it's just, you know, like, that's kind of what emotional states mm-hmm. kind of mean. It's not, you know, it's important information for sure. But mm-hmm. Do I draw great meaning out of them? Less and less, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just your internal experience. You know, there's something happening in your internal experience. It's just, you know, even if you think about the matter, you know, there's some physical substance that's moving around, or it's some relationship between the things that make up what we think of as the physical substance mm-hmm. inside you. So there's things happening there, and you can have a subjective experience of them.
Yeah.
But that's really all. And maybe it's your ego earlier in your life that attaches itself to those things that makes it seem like they matter, because you feel like you need to matter.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a... I don't know. Maybe one other way to put it is the need for continuity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of things or experiences, whether that's internal, external. Is less important.
You mean the need for there to be continuity between your internal and external experience?
No, continuity in like the things in the external that I may want to have and keep the same. Uh-huh. Or even internal experience, a continuity of an internal experience that I want to have or keep all of the time.
Oh, yeah. So you can let them be, those be passing.
Yeah.
Temporal. Transient.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's the big lesson, right? Like, mm-hmm. you spend enough time living and you see how things come and go. What, there's some sort of core kind of lesson in that, isn't there?
I mean, probably. Your external experience does definitely come and go. Mm-hmm. So do your internal experiences.
Right.
I should probably introduce the podcast. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Single True Podcast. This is episode 54. We're going to talk about getting old and what happens to you and how your body falls apart, which you've already started talking about a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you introduced me to Gabor Mate. He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. Gabor Mate. Mm-hmm.
And a therapist.
Trauma guy.
Yeah, myth of his book, The Myth of Normal, is about how a lot of the things that we experience in our culture as human beings are probably just the result of trauma, which is the experience or our responses to things that may be hurtful or difficult or, yeah, just hurtful and difficult.
Yeah.
And how we respond to them, not necessarily the things that happen to us, but how they sort of live and persist in our nervous systems or in our system itself.
And how we try to cope with that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How we respond and try to manage pain, really. And he goes on and gives about 500,000 examples in the book about people who have experienced some physical malady or emotional, mental, and even like the prevalence of lots of different mental health issues and physical ailments that are epidemic in our society, really, and how they're likely people's response to the stressors that they experience.
Yeah.
So we always use stress and trauma pretty interchangeably. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there are obviously traumatic experiences that are life-threatening or just physically dangerous that definitely result in trauma for people. But I think, especially after listening to the book, it really hammers home that trauma and stress really exist on a continuum, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even things that might not think of as traumatic can still be erosive to our well-being. And also, we just adapt to them, even if they're mildly stressful. And especially if they're mildly stressful in a prolonged way.
Yeah, over
in
time.
Our lives, we develop these adaptations to stress.
A desensitization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Could be avoiding it. It could be avoiding things or just trying to get safe to safety or just survive.
Yeah. Really.
Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to find different ways to safety based off of those experiences, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so you're, you know, part of the aging thing that we go through is that we, you know, all the stress and stuff, like, wears on you. That's what I experience a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking about my experience of feeling like scattered when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just one example. It's possible that was because of difficulty, stress.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hurt that I was experiencing, and so, and you know, just kind of adapting to my situation and trying to avoid, maybe run away from different hurts.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We don't, that response that you're talking about, I think is an adaptive response and happening mm-hmm. in all of our nervous systems, right? Mm-hmm. And, but we don't recognize it for what it is, right? There's not even the chance for a misunderstanding, because it's just becomes a normal way for us to be and to operate. So we don't even have a chance to misunderstand it, really,
mm-hmm.
until an event comes where someone either asks us about that phenomenon or whatever, and then we're forced to kind of think about what, step outside of it, I suppose, and mm-hmm. evaluate it and come to some sort of definition or meaning as to why it's happening. But mm-hmm. I mean, that a lot of times that doesn't happen until we're older.
Yeah, because when you get older, it all accumulates and then you're hurting for no reason or no particular reason that you could put your finger on until you start to think about the cumulative effect of stress mm-hmm. over your lifespan, right?
Right.
Which everyone experiences.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think, you know, in the book, Mate's book, you know, he's enumerating all the different ways that people are in pain and ailing, right? Health is failing and, you know, or everyone's got a mental illness or whatever. And it's just like pervasive. Mm-hmm. And if you're human, you're undergoing stress, right? And he talks about a lot of the reasons for that, you know, systemic things or relational things in our families and stuff like that that really are stressful for people. But, you know, then it's the thing that's happening for everyone, just in different ways. You know, you're just responding to your environment in certain ways that are then forming how your body is in interacting and in relationship to your environment, right? And
yeah,
that's, you know, we're all just doing that in different ways, every single one of us,
right? And there's no way you can keep up with it with the process.
What do you mean keep up with it?
Well, because you're talking about just kind of the day in and day out kind of stress experience, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's not just happening in day chunks. It's happening in, you know, really kind of real time, mm-hmm. minute to minute or yeah. second to second, right?
All the time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no possible way that we could possibly keep up with it as it's actually being experienced. Mm-hmm.
Be present to it, or even know what the stress is.
It's right. That uh-huh. you can't synthesize it, right? Uh-huh. Like as it's happening, or
right.
That would be all our brain would be doing.
Right.
Right. Which yeah. it's not even built to do that. But uh-huh. yeah, we can't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think part of the way the book is helpful, or just thinking about stress in this way, is that it's really important that we know that if you are stressed or ailing or mentally ill, that you haven't done anything wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, that's like our go-to assumption, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because I, even in my own experience, I feel like if I'm stressed, I must be doing something wrong. I don't know if that makes sense. If you feel that way, but
it makes total sense. My eyes went in that direction thinking about it, just because I was thinking of all of the experiences or times where that's happened for me too, uh-huh. for sure. Uh-huh. It's yeah. like ingrained in us.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously if you're stressed or, you know, tired or sick or mentally ill or diagnosable or your body hurts, or then there's a problem to fix.
Yeah.
And you know, with all of those things, with all of the things, I think, that ail us, you know, you know, you can feel like you did it to yourself, or you didn't do something to avoid it. You know what I mean?
Get that it's based off of the assumption that it's something that shouldn't happen, mm-hmm. and that could be prevented mm-hmm. if you were doing the mm-hmm. right thing.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, if it's the family that you grew up in, which we all have experienced, hurts or lack in those relationships. You know, we don't really want to believe that that's sometimes that that's been, you know, problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't even want to believe that you're not healthy, right? And so you resist that in some ways. Or you didn't live life in the right way to be able to metabolize stress or to be able to overcome stress.
Mm-hmm.
You were responsible for that, and you didn't do whatever it took to avoid illness or fatigue or whatever you're experiencing, right?
Yeah.
Or even like you should have been more successful or better, right? You weren't, because so it's, you know, it's your fault.
All
basically
of these, all of these concepts that are fed to us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it's, you know, it sort of resets me a little bit. Like the other day, I think I was telling you that it feels disorienting to think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is odd, because like I would have told you that I think that everything that people do is adaptive to their environment, that it's a way that they have, that they try to survive their own life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't pathologize, or rather we shouldn't blame, I guess. Or, and you know, pathologizing is another thing we shouldn't do, but
yeah.
But like being beaten over the head with it so long, as that's what happens in the book if you read it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why he does it. You know,
it's just like, oh yeah, that this thing that's happening, obesity, ADHD, autoimmune deficiency, these are all things that are just because people are hurting because of something that's happened to them, not because they've done something wrong. That's kind of like one of the main points.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, we don't blame a tree for losing its leaves when it's not getting enough water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Or when it's fall, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We expect the leaves to change and fall mm-hmm. onto the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And then the trees are bare. We don't mm-hmm. pathologize that. What makes us any difference? We you know, we are nature.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's helpful. It's helpful not to blame ourselves. That's one thing. Right? And you know, even if you say, you know, that you're physical symptoms or even your mental or emotional state is due to, you know, stress or trauma, there's that, you know, sometimes we can even hear in that, you know, that the person is, the affected person is at fault, or, you know, or we think of that they have done something wrong or haven't done something they should have done
mm-hmm.
to avoid it, which, you know, that's not what we're saying at all.
No. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, if you understand the body as an organism, just like any other organism, its main job is to avoid and mitigate stress
mm-hmm.
and or emotional pain, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's always oriented towards.
Just adapt to its, to what happens.
Yeah.
Adapt to its environment.
Right. And it wants to keep
mm-hmm.
the positive ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wants to do everything it can to avoid the pain and discomfort and stress or anxiety, and to maintain the continuity of good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could even think of, like, I mean, some of those things, you know, especially like maybe mental health issues that are developed or, you know, show up in people's experiences adaptive. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's you know, we also pathologize everything, you know,
it's a way to try to get control over it.
Yeah everything that seems like it seems maladaptive, right? Because it might cause some problems or, you know, create some symptoms that we diagnose or whatever. And so then that's pathologizing. It is pathology. It's disease or disorder.
Yeah. So we're just giving everyone a get out of jail free card, right?
Yeah.
You're not guilty.
That? Yeah.
Innocent.
That's right.
No trial needed.
Yeah. There's no sense in that.
Let yourself off the hook.
Yeah, please. Right. You could also, you know, try to see yourself as a victim, mm-hmm. or as someone who's undergone difficulty or trauma, which would actually be helpful to you instead of responsible. Depathologize and also not be self-blaming.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Even at our advanced age.
At our advanced stage.
It's hard not to blame yourself for like not doing certain things to avoid.
But once again, that blame is like it's just another attempt at trying to find resolution about the stress. Mm-hmm. It's just a more conceptual way. Mm-hmm. Through blaming ourselves, our guilt and shame. But it's just a conceptual way, uh-huh. once again, to try to find some resolution mm-hmm. about this, whatever it is that we're feeling, stress.
Yeah. You think people want to find resolution?
Well, yeah, because that's what the organism's always trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get back to zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a more conceptual way of trying to find resolution. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't work either.
Yeah. So should we talk about what does work? You know, we could talk a long time about responding to trauma successfully, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. The organism is trying to get back to zero, or, you know, just some sense of resolution or stasis or something like that. Mm-hmm. When we pathologize things and talk about, you know, disease or mental illness, you know, it just kind of becomes an acceptable part of your life that you might treat. And so we don't always see it as something that can be healed, I guess. And so I think it's helpful to think about this in terms of healing and not just managing or treating the symptoms of, or, you know, sometimes we think because we blame ourselves or the way that we've handled our experience that it just is what it is. You have to live with that, and if you don't see yourself as wounded or victim, then you can't see yourself as someone in need of healing. You know?
What do you think? This is a big question.
Uh-oh.
I feel like maybe it's even an unfair question, because if you ask me, I'd be like, that's unfair. But I will. Knowing that you can ask me the same question. What's healing? Mm-hmm. What is healing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's seeing a wound that has occurred for some reason, and it is helpful maybe to, you know, know the causes or, you know, what has contributed to it or even how the organism itself has responded to its environment that has been created what we're calling the wound. And then, maybe just try to get back the organism back to functioning as it was before the wound happened or occurred, right? Some of the mental and emotional things that we experience that they happen so early in life that, you don't even, it's hard to conceptualize even what happened that created the woundedness, right? Or most of the time in our own experience of this stuff, we don't even remember what it was like to be not hurt, you know?
That's quite a statement that you said there, you know? We don't really remember what it's like to be not hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if your earliest experiences were with unavailable or uncaring, you know, caregivers, then you don't know what it's like. And yet I think people can kind of imagine it almost or find it, or they still know what it looks like. Almost maybe because it's kind of inborn to move toward relationship and care and connection with people. And so, yeah, that might be another definition of healing too, that is being connected. You know?
It's not bad.
All right, I get to ask you the question too now. What do you see as healing?
Ultimately, I don't feel like I really know. But at this point, I feel like, you know, from a functional standpoint, it just has maybe trying to get as objective as an understanding about our experiences and how they impacted us. Mm-hmm. And how our functioning has kind of grown around those hurtful experiences, and using our own intuition and instinct to explore and create different ways.
Is it intuition and instinct?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like healing is natural.
Yeah, I think if we give ourselves an opportunity, like if I have an objective understanding about my experiences or the experiences that were hurtful, right? An objective mm-hmm. understanding of that. And an objective understanding about how I created adaptive responses to those hurtful experiences. Then I have an opportunity to create space in my mind and even in my body to consult with my instinct and intuition about how I want to develop different adaptive responses. Mm-hmm.
So you would spend some time getting a hold of whatever happened.
Yeah.
That was wounding.
Uh-huh.
Maybe with some help.
Sure.
If you want.
Yeah.
But getting a perspective.
Yeah.
On it. Yeah. That's more, because your own experience of it is subjective, and your inside of your own experiences, which maybe has always been filled with hurt, you know, like that thing I was talking about where you might not even know what it's like to be not hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and then mm-hmm. and then kind of maybe accessing your own your organism, the self's ability to naturally get itself right.
Yeah, I mean, even in a very real way, like objectivity is, I would say, very much a tangible expression of healing. You know?
Yeah, say more about that.
I think when we first start kind of looking at the things that hurt us, and rightfully so, and I think that this is an important part of the process, that we really give it its the attention that it deserves and that is due. And that's going to feel very visceral and personal. I think in that space, trying to be objective in that space is probably not helpful. You know what I mean? Because it's like you're not given the you're not given the experience the attention that it needs, which it needs to be so basic and fundamental, where it's this visceral, emotional, very personal kind of experience, you know? I think if you can do that, and there's an opportunity for it to kind of change in a way without the events changing, right? They're not going to. But there's some sort of change in, there can be, where it becomes more objective. What I mean by objective is that there's simply just like a clear understanding of why what happened the way it did, you know? I think that takes time to get there.
Yeah, I think it's helpful though. One of the things I think that's helpful about like how we look at trauma, like when we're doing therapy and we're trying to help people sort of encounter their own pain and difficulty or trauma, that it's just helpful to have someone else in the room with you while you do it, or that's sort of like tethering you to safe, solid ground or whatever while you go into, the kind of deep abyss sometimes of your pain or your own experience of a trauma. Just, so like when you say objective, I think of like just even like an outside observer who sort of,
Right.
helps tether you to safety.
Sure, because in some w in some ways the subjective experience is the trauma. You know?
Yeah.
Like
Oh yeah, that's for sure. That's what we're
it's when the then and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, right? But
Again, yeah, it can sound like you're making it the person's fault
yeah.
because of the way they experience it. That's
Right.
not what we're saying at all.
No, the subjective experience, I would say quite literally is the trauma. And
Yes.
it needs attention and energy, and it needs to be given its due, right? For sure. But I think there's something to what you're saying about having some, someone or people around you that are a little bit removed from it, So, maybe that's where the potential for the objectivity comes.
Yeah, they don't get caught up in your visceral experience of trauma about you, whatever the thing was
Yeah.
that happened, right? That and can also provide a little bit of hope, like you're going to get through this, and I'll be right here while you do it,
Yeah.
So, yeah. Healing, just, yeah. Maybe reconnecting with yourself. You know, I was talking about my scattered experience, right? And how we disconnect from ourselves and we disconnect from reality.
Yeah.
Right? And dissociate and just kind of become fragmented, if you want to say it that way, from things that are just too difficult or horrific to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And healing, you might say, is, yeah, just becoming reconnected with your, as much of your experience as you can.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, Gabor Mate will talk about how, you know, a lot, healing has a lot to do with reconnecting with yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're talking about is along that lines. You know, like I said, you know, if we can have some clarity about the events that caused us harm and give the subjective experience attention and the energy that it needs and deserves, and we find ways to kind of move through that and in that, you know, it does seem like there starts to be some space that opens up, that, you know, we start getting some clarity about how those hurts impacted us and how we developed adaptive responses to that. And when we give the subjective experience attention and energy, then there starts to be maybe some space that opens up to where we can start engaging ourselves, our intuition, our creativity, our instinct to redefine what those, mm-hmm. how we're going to be, mm-hmm. essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and, you know, I guess from my perspective, a very real way of reconnecting to yourself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And also, you are going to reconnect with yourself that originally came up with these solutions to the problems that you encountered, which were, you know, on this side of it, you know, later in your life, where you sort of like come up with some symptoms or something that's not working or whatever, you know, you, part of the healing is reconnecting with your younger self that just sort of came up with these adaptations or solutions to the problem, and just tell your younger self that was okay.
Well, right, because it was well-intentioned. It was trying to survive and do the best it could. Like,
right. And
we would never blame anyone else for doing the best they could to try to survive. Yet it's very mm-hmm. interesting, when we're in the midst of our trauma, we are very quick to condemn ourselves for doing the same thing that we would never blame other people for.
It's really easy to blame ourselves. So that's the thing that the book is helping me with, and then, you know, I'm just kind of working on with people and myself, you know, just that there's a lot of untangling of, you know, your self-blame, shame, responsibility, feeling like you could have done or should have done better, you know, like, people, maybe I'm just talking to myself, have a tough time letting that go, you know?
I don't know. In some way, I've been kind of starting to think about this, like, blame and guilt and shame is like, that is a trauma response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
It really has become, like, in I guess maybe from a collective kind of consciousness, humanity's way of trying to resolve mm-hmm. extremely painful situations.
Well, yeah, a lot of times in trauma, you know, you've had this thing happen to you and you look for, I mean, you know, it's, you kind of need to find a target or like whatever did this to you or whoever did this to you. And many times in trauma, you can't, you're not allowed to, or, you know, it's not even, you're not even allowed to see it as trauma,
right?
Or hurt. It's kind of dismissed in that way. And so, you know, you have to blame yourself. You're the only person left to blame,
right?
Or something.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, is it, even if in the best case scenario you are able to blame someone, right, mm-hmm. and hold that person guilty, mm-hmm. there's this sense of, right, we're trying to do that as a way to, you know, resolve, find resolution about the trauma, the event, and that makes sense. It's ingrained in us, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we may get that sense of just that we got justice, but mm-hmm. oftentimes, at least what I've found, is that we're still left with the pain, with the hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is, okay, wait, even if in the best case scenarios we can blame or hold the other person mm-hmm. accountable and you know, we get our justice, there is still this mm-hmm. there is still the pain and the impact of the event that we're left with.
Yeah, and you can still make that your fault, that you didn't deal with it better.
Yet again, another attempt at trying to resolve it, uh-huh. right?
Yeah. So seeing everyone as doing this in just a different way means, even, you know, and this is maybe not even necessary for you to realize, but, you know, even the perpetrators of your trauma, if, you know, you want to put it that way, are also experiencing trauma themselves, you know, stress, abuse. And but you just need to kind of do your own healing. And but it's, you know, seeing that everyone is in that, I mean, not even just the people that we think of as sick, quote unquote sick or unhealthy or mentally ill, but everyone, you know, just it makes your experience softer. You can look with softer eyes on other people. And you know, because when we're blaming ourselves, it is hard not to also see others harshly. We see ourselves harshly, and so, you know, we would blame other people for their own trauma, you know, in some ways, maybe.
Yeah, well, because we're likely to project it, right?
Yeah, without even trying to or thinking that we are.
Yeah.
So I believe we can say a lot more about navigating trauma or healing, what healing is, and we will in future episodes. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll talk to you soon.
Keep me.